Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. Episode 37!
I can see the 2018 season.
I can see it. I can see it from my house.
I can see Russia from my house.
Sometimes I can.
Sometimes it feels like it with as cold as it is right now.
You know we're supposed to get a lot of snow on, like, Tuesday.
Oh, God, I had heard that.
It's happening again. It's happening again.
Yeah, well, and I'm up in Fort Wayne until Thursday, and apparently we're supposed to get close to a foot between now and Wednesday.
Well, that's hateful.
It's extremely hateful, and also, what a great time for me to be in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, I don't know. First of all, it's never a great time to be in Fort Wayne. I'll say that.
No, or as I affectionately refer to it, South Canada.
Oh, I like that.
Yep, I'm in South Canada.
And all of this after we just got back from Florida.
Florida.
It's time to go back to Florida.
It is time to go back to Florida.
Well,
I actually got a little bit of a tan on my face. It made me miss the sun.
Right? We were just standing out in the sun every opportunity we could have. Ugh.
Soaking up all that vitamin D. All right, well, let's warm up these tires.
Yeah, we probably should. So we'll discuss news and a minute of reality TV.
Because just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Then, by the time this comes out, all the announcements will have probably been made, so we can do a rundown of the 2018 drivers. Our Woman of the Week is Nicole Lyons, and our shit we made didn't make up is a Memorial Day protection bill. The moment when Indiana did not like racing.
It was short-lived.
Short-lived.
But sometimes it did happen.
They got a little cranky pants. It's fine.
They did. Change is always hard for people.
It is. Well, do you want to kind of give your brief reality TV rundown for a minute?
Sure. So I have not watched The Bachelor in weeks. I also haven't caught up with my mom on what has happened because when I can't watch it, I usually get a rundown from her. So I have no idea what's happening on The Bachelor. Ari Leindyke is still there. I do know that he tweeted last week bitching about having to wait for his doctor's appointment. And it took everything in me not to tweet back at him because he said he hadn't been to the doctor in like 4 or 5 years. Then he got there, you know, and his appointment was like at, you know, 2, and it was 2:15, and he was still in the waiting room, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And like bitched that every time he goes to the doctor, he has to wait a long time. So I just want to address that for anybody that bitches about that. A, maybe you have to wait because you're not the sickest person there. Yeah. So put in your big boy pants and sit the fuck down and shut up.
Just calm down, please.
Calm the fuck down. B, maybe if people like you who didn't see their doctor on a regular basis actually did go yearly and not once every 4 years, appointments would only take the amount of time that they're supposed to.
Thank you.
The doctor wouldn't have to be doing 4 years worth of work in a time period for 1 year's worth of work.
Thank you.
And C, if he hasn't been to a doctor in 4 years, he clearly hasn't been on any meds, which just goes along with me on why I think he's still single.
Oh my gosh.
Just saying, maybe there's something about Ari that he is not medicating himself appropriately for.
Maybe he had to go to a doctor because he got an STD from one of the ladies.
Well, that's a definite possibility.
I mean, I'm just going to...
And also, you always going to wait at that clinic.
Yeah, you ain't getting in easily there.
Yeah, no, there's always a line at that particular clinic, Ari. So I don't have any Bachelor news, but I do want to say to everybody, your primary care doctor has a really hard job,
mm-hmm.
So don't be dicks to them if they run behind schedule. It's not like they're doing that on purpose.
No.
Same goes for the ER. If it's not an emergency and you have time to bitch about it, then go the fuck home and call your doctor on Monday.
Thank you.
All right, there's my nursing PSA for the day. And then The Amazing Race, I have not gotten a chance to watch the snippets, except for the one with Connor going back for that beer. Which, yeah, Molly affectionately said, shows that he is truly our spirit animal.
I mean, think about it. If we were in the middle of something with a beer and there was it was a Belgium beer, so you know it was fantastic right there. I was going to we take a sip.
Oh, absolutely. I'd take the whole thing.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, I would drink the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that they are still in The Amazing Race. They are still in this week, so
They're still there. I think they ended it in fourth, if I remember correctly from looking at Twitter, but I don't know.
Okay. That sounds about right, because they haven't been in first place any of the weeks, but they've never been dead last any of the weeks. They've pretty much been putting up like a solid third to fifth place every week. So
if they would just keep trying to podium finish, that would be helpful for us.
I know. We need you to podium, guys. Come on. You know this.
Get the podium. You know that's more important.
Yeah. We need you in the top three.
Yeah.
So that's all I have for our reality TV this week.
Yeah. It was good. I appreciate it.
Connor was somewhere yesterday in Indianapolis. I could tell on his Snapchat, but I couldn't tell where it was. It almost looked like one of the mini buildings on the grounds of the state fair, but
okay. Yeah,
I couldn't tell like what he was there doing or any of that business. So I did just some light stalking yesterday.
Well, the fuel was playing yesterday. Maybe he was at the Indy Fuel game.
No, it was like a whole room of people. Like, it looks like some sort of like convention.
I have no idea.
You know?
Oh, yeah, there was no the Winterfest for beer. Maybe that was it.
Oh, that could have been it. Okay.
I'm just guessing. I am absolutely guessing. Actually am not friends with Mr. Connor on the Snapchat.
Oh, you should add him. It's very entertaining.
I know. You know I don't use Snapchat that much.
I know you don't.
It's confusing.
I just use it to creep on my nieces and nephews.
I mean, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I use our professional one when we go to races, but then my personal one, I occasionally send out some snaps, but mostly it's just to creep at my nieces and nephews and see what the fuck they're doing.
I get that. Maybe I should probably keep an eye on it for that reason. Now that you say that. All right. Let's keep going on the news train. Alonzo.
I was opening a container of hummus. I apologize.
Never apologize for hummus. We will always pause for hummus.
That's right. No apologies. Sorry, not sorry. Opening hummus.
Never for hummus. So Alonso Fernando came out to say that he will be participating in the endurance series, and this includes Le Mans.
Yes.
So very exciting. He's going to be driving for Toyota. And so last year, the Toyota car won 5 out of the 9 series races.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is kind of a big deal because it has the Triple Crown implications.
It does. Although Le Mans is, what weekend is Le Mans?
Oh, give me a second. I knew you were going to ask.
Or no, is it Monaco that's the same weekend as the Indy 500?
Monaco's the same weekend as the Indy 500. So
this year he's doing Le Mans and Monaco,
yes.
Right?
Yes, but I would imagine should he win Le Mans, he will be skipping the Monaco race from here on out until he wins the Indianapolis 500.
I would imagine so as well.
I mean, it's that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm a little excited about it.
Oh, I'm very excited about it.
I mean, how cool would it be to be there and watch somebody win the Triple Crown?
It would be awesome. Yeah. And for the final race of that to be the Indy 500.
I mean, it's just kind of fitting for us.
Right? Like, I'm more excited that he did not win Indy last year. So hopefully he wins Le Mans, and then the only thing that he has left to win is the Indy 500.
Yeah. I mean, I will be all on board Fernando Mania, and I don't even care.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be so fucking exciting.
Yeah.
And I think get a ton of fans out to the track.
Definitely. Especially with the whole, like, this could be it. He could win. Good God, the seats would sell themselves.
Oh, history in the making.
Yeah. So he debuts in May for the Endurance Series, although he was there in Daytona. We did not see him.
We did not.
No. Murmur. We thought of, I looked for him.
We definitely did.
Didn't see him, though.
We 100% looked for him, but did not have
him. What's really interesting, and I think this kind of speaks to the, I don't know if it speaks to the type of racer he is or the publicity that he generates, is that because there's some conflict between some of the Formula One races and the World Endurance races, World Endurance races is potentially moving their Fuji race because it conflicts with the U.S. Grand Prix.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they have the ability to move it, although I guess they must not have, you know, things booked every weekend at that track like our tracks are.
Yeah, and it's in, gosh, COTA's October, late September or in October, so that's enough time to kind of move things, but hopefully people haven't bought, like, tickets yet. and hotel
yeah,
rooms.
Yeah, plane tickets and things, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just interesting. I think that speaks to the kind of pull that Fernando has, and I think we all saw it last year at the 500.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really easy to like the guy and to root for him.
I mean, I feel like he's my spirit animal, but that's okay.
I mean, I just love that he always has, what do we say? It wasn't resting bitch face. It was,
crap. It was almost just like resting cranky. It was old man grumpy face. Was it something like cranky face?
I think resting grumpy face. RGF. Yeah, RGF. Resting grumpy face.
He's done. And you can see it.
Yeah, his face just always, it always looks like he's 100% done.
Finito. Yo soy finito.
Yep. Finito. I'm done.
Yeah. Speaking of F1.
So, F1 stopped the use of, is stopping the use of grid girls for the 2018 season.
Yeah.
And the internet has lost their fucking minds.
I mean, everybody lost their fucking minds.
Everybody lost their fucking minds.
Both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, what to say that hasn't been said already?
So I think there were some very interesting points that had been made because I read all kinds of articles and then I wrote a blog. I finished my blog Saturday night.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to, restate any of the things that already had been said. But, if some of our listeners have not gone down the rabbit hole of this, a quick Cliff's Notes on what you've missed this week on the internet. Creepy guys, still creepy.
Yes.
Misogynists, still woman haters. Although they want the grid girls back, it is so that they can be eye candy for them.
Can I step in real quick? Because somebody was, speaking of creepy guys being creepy, somebody's like, it's not a problem, blah, blah, blah. And they basically posted an upskirt photo of a grid girl. And I thought to myself, maybe not the best photo to use, buddy.
Yeah, like maybe you taking, holding your camera down at like junk level and trying to get a picture up underneath somebody's skirt. Pretty sure that's creepy. And also, bet you didn't have consent for that photo.
Yeah. Anyway, continue. Just creepy guys, still creepy.
Creepy guys, still creepy. Always have been, always will be. We just have to put them in their place, ladies.
Yeah.
And other men who are not creepy.
Thank you.
So, the grid girls spoke out and they were upset about it, and they said that they felt as if they were, being targeted by feminists, and that they personally didn't feel exploited, that they loved their jobs, this and that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand how they feel that way. A few articles came back and said, well, this is how much it costs to have grid girls. And it was a ridiculous amount of money, by the way. Because if you have the same girls in each race, then you have to pay for their transportation, their hotel room, meals at the track, their outfits. It's all these costs. Plus, you're paying them.
Yeah.
It can easily be. I mean, for two grid girls, you can be paying $10,000 for one race.
Damn.
Before you even pay their salary.
We might be in the wrong business.
I know.
Just saying.
Like, nobody told me that's why I should be going to the gym. I don't care about health. I'm just vain. That's a lot of money. I think I could find the time to work out. So, a few articles made very good points that were, if this was a purely monetary decision and this is how much it costs and this and that, then, they understand, okay, they're not getting the return on investment that mm-hmm. they should be. It's not a good ROI.
Yeah.
You're spending $10,000 for two girls to stand out there and look pretty, but is that really gaining you support, sponsorship, money, consumers? Is it really doing anything for those brands associated? And were they in their, in their role, how they had been acting in their role? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Another great point was, any boss that eliminates position doesn't give a fuck if you like their job, if you like your job. Like, they're making a business decision.
True. We are an Atlas state here, so.
Yeah. It's like, for everybody who's ever been fired, your boss doesn't give a shit if you like your job or not. You can say that, you loved your job and you're upset you're not working there anymore, but that's not going to change the fact that you're fired.
Yeah.
So I thought those were interesting points. And then, obviously, You know, there was just, you know, I'm kind of like the logic of kind of looking at things as a more business side. And then there were lots of posts supporting getting rid of the grid girls. And one of them was a man who said that he had no problem with grid girls until he had a daughter. And then he took a 6-year-old to a race and he started looking around. He thought to himself, you know, I don't want my daughter to think this is the only thing that she can do in this sport. I want her to know that she can be an engineer, that she can be a driver, that she can, you know, do all these other things. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was awesome. And I'm like, yes, that is the point that women in motorsports want to make, is that you can be anything. Yeah. You don't have to, you know, the only thing, it's not that you can only be a great girl. And so then I wrote a blog post that can be seen as controversial. Because I do consider myself a feminist, but I think that true feminism is having the right to choose whatever you want to do. And so if there are people and that's what they want to do is be promotional models, and that's you know, what they want to do as part of their job experience, then I don't think we as women should poo-poo that idea.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to be an engineer. I'm not saying that we shouldn't support engineers or female drivers. Obviously, I love supporting female engineers. I love supporting female drivers. I love supporting women in STEM and all of that. Right. I'm a STEM woman. I am 100% in support of that. But my younger sister is 100% not a STEM person. And so being a race car driver or an engineer or any of that would have never been anything that would have appealed to her.
Mm-hmm.
This is not who she is. And we grew up with the same parents. So it's not like, you know, I was encouraged to go into science and she wasn't. We were both encouraged to do whatever our little hearts desired. We were both exposed to lots of things.
Yeah.
You know, I got a microscope and loved it. And it came with like a little bee in formaldehyde that I dissected and looked at under the microscope and all that business. And I loved that microscope for years and years. My sister never even once touched it. Like I tried to get her to look at shit and show her stuff, and she never cared.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of times in our feminism conversations, we forget that there are some people who choose to be in careers that value looks.
Yeah.
And that is okay for them to choose to do that.
Yeah.
But I think that we have misused grid girls for years.
Definitely.
In 2018, we should not have women that are standing there being only pretty faces.
Yeah. I mean, they don't even have a speaking role. Like, it's not even like they're a promotional model for one of the tire companies. They just stand there and hold a sign, and that's it. That's all that they do.
That's all that they do. And so I think that being their only role, should have changed over a decade ago.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, so I feel bad for the grid girls because, you know, they've lost a job. But some of them are being dramatic because that's not their only job.
And it's only one weekend a year because they pull from each country.
Yes.
So it's like one weekend a year.
Yeah. And you have other promotional modeling gigs. I know how that works. My sister's done lots of promotional modeling.
Yep.
In fact, she's done promotional modeling at F1 when we had it in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
She's done it at the Indy 500. She's done it at the Brickyard 400. She's done promotional modeling for lots of things, trade shows and all kinds of things. So I also, you know, have a little bit different view because I've seen that firsthand, and my sister is certainly not soft-spoken. So,
you know, I don't think that can ever be said of your family, and I mean that in love.
No, it cannot be said of anybody in my family. That is absolutely true. But, you know, she has never been exploited. If it was ever something that had an outfit or whatever that she didn't want to wear, she just didn't do that job.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It is.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I think at the heart of it, the grid girls are a symptom of a much larger problem. You know, I think you're correct. I think that I almost want to call it, and people have different names for it. I call it a false flag. I've heard it called a black flag. It's the thing that gets everybody stirred up while something else happens.
Yeah.
This is, I think, unfortunately, the rule did not evolve, and it is basically paying somebody to stand there and hold a sign because they are a woman. And it's unfortunate that they're doing that just because they are a woman. I've seen people said, you know, what if they did, you know, like local kids or local heroes from the community? And I was like, I could get 100% involved in that.
Or even up and coming younger drivers.
Yeah, something like that. That's fantastic. And I think.
I think that's great.
If Liberty really, really wants to make a change, that's what they need to do. But I think we're getting caught up in a small part of a conversation that's much larger.
Great. I completely agree.
You know, I do, you know, they lost money. That sucks for them. It's never great to lose a job, but maybe this is a shift to trying to have F1, which is a little bit misogynistic. Let's, you know, focus more on the, all right, we need to view women in a different light. And that's what I'm hoping for. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
I don't either. I think that...
I mean, the jury is still out on that.
It is, and we will have to see.
Yeah.
And like I said in my blog post, you know, I think that the Grid Girls, you know, I think that we have focused on the wrong parts of this story and asked the wrong questions. Like 100%. You said, they are a symptom of a much larger problem.
Yeah.
It's not the Grid Girls themselves.
Yeah. And it's not even the role of Grid Girls. Like, I don't like it, but... That's not the big issue. The big issue is we don't have somebody out there. We have two or three out there right now that somebody could take their daughter to and say, look, there's a girl. She's, you know, headphones. She's an engineer. Her job is to make sure that car goes really fast. It goes to the, if I can see it, I can be it. Well, there's nothing out there right now.
Absolutely. And F1 is the worst integrated of all the motorsports.
Yeah, I would 100%. Yeah.
Hands down. And I think that Bernie Ecclestone is directly responsible for that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that that is by accident. In fact, I would venture to say that he's probably proud of that fact.
I would 100% agree. I think he, and I didn't read it because I knew it would raise my blood pressure to a bad level, but he had a statement about the removal of the Grid Girls, and I know it was bad.
He said, so here was one of the quotes, and I almost took this angle on my article. Well, let me finish my thought, and then I want to get back to Bernie.
Sure.
Okay, so I think that Bernie purposefully made F1 not female-friendly, because he doesn't think that we should wear anything but white so that we match the rest of our domestic appliances.
Mm-hmm.
That is an actual quote.
Son of a bitch.
So I think that the Grid Girls' decision was... overcompensation to show that F1 is female friendly, especially since Bernie has been gaining some ground with this all female league.
Yeah.
So I think that Liberty wanted to come in and say, listen, hey, we're under new management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of the way that, that Chip Ganassi did, this past year. I mean, he cut three of his four drivers, you know, under new management, like we're starting fresh. So I think that Liberty came in and wanted to make a really hard statement saying, you know, we're not misogynists, we're not assholes, we want to be clear about that. And I think part of them wanted to say, fuck you, to Bernie Ecclestone.
I would agree with that, 100%. 100%.
I think that not only did we come in like the wrong part of this conversation, you know, the tail end, I think that there was a lot of heat before that, and the Liberty is sitting back with two birds in the air. Because what is the most... I mean, aside from the racing, you know, that having women be on display is something that's obviously very near and dear to Bernie's heart. And so I think that they took that away. Like,
we're taking it all away.
Now nobody can play with it.
Exactly. They took the ball and went home and said, see, you can't have it either.
He said that, you know, he said they're part of the spectacle. And, you know, he said that the drivers wouldn't know where to go on the grid without them. First off,
no.
Shut the fuck up. They're professionally trained drivers. You're telling me that they can race on these courses at speeds up to 200 miles an hour and make split-second decisions, but they're too fucking dumb to know where to go on the starting grid when they're driving at less than 5 miles an hour?
Are you fucking high? I'm so glad I didn't read it, because I think I would have died. I just would have died at that moment.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, really?
Really?
Yeah. They don't know where to go. Fuck off.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Get fucked, Bernie. And then the second, and then he also, you know, he's part of the spectacle. And that I find interesting as well, because when you think about, you know, we say the Indy 500 is the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah.
And so an event is a spectacle. A person is not a spectacle.
No.
And so I think that also what Bernie, how he looks at drivers, celebrities, you know, all the people that are involved in races, I think that how he looks at people is different than how people in our generation look at people and what we expect when we go to a sporting event.
Yeah.
When I go to the Indy 500, I expect that it's going to be awesome because it is awesome because of the history, because of the event.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in it or who's not. The years that the kart drivers weren't there, you know, people say they didn't like the racing as much. That's fine. But did you still have a fucking awesome time at the Indy 500? Yeah, you
Hell
did.
Yeah.
Because that event is spectacular.
Yeah.
It is a spectacle.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you start applying that to people, then I think that gets to that whole mindset of these people owe me something.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid my money to be here. So, you know, here I am now, entertain me.
Exactly. And, here I am. Let me take that upskirt photo. That's kind of that weird paradigm shift. Yeah.
I'm here to take something from you. No, mm-hmm. What you should be here as a fan is to give support to the sport.
Yeah.
You should be there as a fan to give things. Yeah. You're having an awesome experience, but you know, if you're coming to just take things and leave, then you're not a very good fan. In fact, you're not a very good human.
No.
So I think that it says a lot about how he views people in general. Yeah.
No,
that to me, it just kind of struck me off when he said, you know, well, they're part of the spectacle.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that, you know, if you're going to an event and you expect that, you know, all of these people there owe you something, you know, they owe you a big crash or they owe you 15 minutes of chit chatting like they know you when they don't, they don't owe you anything.
Mm-mm.
They're there as an athlete. You're there to watch them. The only thing they owe is to themselves to do their best.
Yeah. And I think that's the only thing they would even owe you. If you're owed anything, it's that the drivers are going to go out there and do their best.
Yeah. And I would say that that goes with everybody else involved in that racing team. They don't owe you a goddamn thing except to try and do the best at their job.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So.
So, yeah, but I do feel bad for the Greek girls. And like I said in the article, I'm not surprised at all they love their jobs. Like when I first saw it, I thought to myself, well, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Even though I'd rather be on the engineering side, I'd rather be a race car driver. If I had ever been a grid girl, I would have loved every fucking second of it. Being there in the midst of all that energy on the grid. I mean, I was on the grid at the very first F1 race in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Because my choir sang.
Yeah.
In the pre-race pageant. And so we were right there in the midst of the pits, you know, right by where the winner's circle area is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the energy was just unreal.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And I mean, I was in such awe that I don't even think I did speak to anybody. So I guess maybe I could abide by the speak when spoken to rule. Awestruck. I mean, it wouldn't last long.
No.
It would not last long. But yeah, I mean, and anytime we've been, even on qualifications and mm-hmm. Fast Friday, I mean, the energy in the pits, on the grid at any time, just is unparalleled.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would be disappointed about not being able to be a part of that too. No matter how I was involved with it, to not be able to be a part of that would be disappointing.
I could see that 100%. Yeah.
So.
We'll see what happens next.
We shall see.
Thank God our series doesn't have to deal with that.
No kidding. Yeah, you know why? Because our drivers are smart enough to know where the fuck to go.
Yeah, they know where to line up on a grid, okay? Apparently, you heard it here. Indy car drivers are smarter than F1 drivers because they know where to line up on a grid.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Which, actually, another funny Bernie quote is that women should be involved in administration because they're more competent than men.
What the?
Yeah, but he said that they shouldn't be drivers because they're too passive. Like they don't have the competitiveness.
Apparently, he's not written with us.
Apparently not. God.
Anyway,
I hope someday we run into him.
I don't know if we'll be able to raise the bail money if we run into him.
Well, I'll tell you this: if we do run into him, it will not be discussed on the podcast because that'll be prosecution. Exhibit A.
Yeah. I'm turning off all recorders.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Christ. So, back to our sport.
Back to our smarter drivers.
IndyCar hires former Toyota and Cosworth engineer to lead the engine development, hoping to bring in an OEM.
So, OEM other... I think it means other engine manufacturer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably... Anyway, it is what it is. I wouldn't have abbreviated it, but do you? Social media. So it's Darren Sansom. So he's formerly with NASCAR Toyota, and they've won the manufacturer champion in NASCAR quite a few times.
They have.
He's was with Ilmor, I-L-M-O-R, so I'm pronouncing it Ilmor, who worked with Honda in their IndyCar as well as Ford and Cosworth. So he has had time in a lot of different engine teams.
Which I think bodes well for him and Toyota.
It does. I think so. And maybe we'll see Toyota. So obviously the big push right now is to get another engine involved. Looking at the rundown, looking at the numbers for the Indy 500, like both Honda and Chevy are going to probably hit their limit.
Yeah, I think they are.
And I know that they all want another, which is weird, but they want another engine involved too.
Well, I mean, it's never a bad thing to have more options.
That's true. And I think if you had another engine, it would help lessen the stress on your Honda and Chevys.
Yeah. And I think it would also foster some more competition between them, because once you add somebody else into the mix, you know, Honda and Chevy at this point kind of know what to expect from each other in IndyCar.
I mean, they kind of know who's going to have what. I think the new body kit will kind of shake things up, but for a while, you know, who was going to do well on what course.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited. I think this is good for IndyCar.
It is, and I think that since we have the universal body kit, that it is going to put a lot of focus on the engine manufacturer, which is something that I really enjoyed about the Rolex 24, you know, and your endurance races. The focus is not the body. No. It's all about the engine manufacturer because it's endurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't want to discount the body on the IndyCar because, it's sweet as hell.
So pretty.
Damn, I love that car.
Damn.
And, you know, some very talented physicists and engineers designed that and went to town on it. Yeah. And a lot of hard work has gone into that chassis, and it shows, and it's awesome. But, you know, to put a little bit more focus back on the engine itself, rather, I feel like last season when we talked about Honda versus Chevy, we discussed the words aero kit.
Yeah.
Almost always followed the words Honda or Chevy.
100%.
We didn't talk that much about the engines. It was, the aero kit, the aero kit. And they're not aero kit companies. They're engine companies.
I agree. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see more focus on the engine manufacturers, because I feel like we used to have more of that, you know, back in the days of, you know, in the pre-CART versus IRL days. And,
yeah. We had
all of that.
So
and I feel like there's a lot of brand loyalty with engines.
I agree. In fact, as a brand loyalist, I'm a little upset because one of the things that have been kicked around is perhaps looking at a hybrid engine, which kind of speaks to me in my crunchy granola soul. Like, yeah, we should try and do hybrids, but Honda is not a fan of trying to get hybrids in.
Interesting.
Very interesting, considering that they have always made a big push on their hybrids. So I don't know what's going on with Honda Racing.
Well, I would say that it's probably because for Indy cars that, you know, aside from NHRA, go the fastest of your motorsports.
I mean, it will definitely
automobiles. It's very hard to have a hybrid that
goes fast.
Can go that fast. Yeah.
What's the quote from like The Office? Like the Prius is silent if it's under 10 miles an hour or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's silent under 10 miles.
And I think that's the big thing with Formula E, which is kind of why I've always enjoyed kind of looking and see what they're doing, is because they're the ones who are kind of running that more eco-friendly series. And
absolutely. Which I'm glad you brought up Formula E, because I did want to mention this. I forgot about this during our discussing the grid girls. Formula E wins the award this week for being savage as fuck.
All right.
So Formula E did away with grid girls last year or the year before. Uh-huh. And when F1 made the announcement, Formula E's official page quoted the tweet announcement and said, "Thanks for joining the rest of us in the 21st century."
Damn!
I was like, oh shit.
Oh shit!
It's like, that is savage.
Somebody
ice cold.
Somebody definitely wins the savage as fuck award, and that's Formula E. Good
Formula
Lord.
E is the savage AF winner of the week.
I would like to get to that level of savageness. Good for you, Formula E.
And I mean, it was like 5 minutes after the initial announcement. good for you, Formula E. They got some good people working there. But yeah, I enjoy that. Yeah, they are the more eco-friendly.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's possible with the science and technology that we have now to have a hybrid car go over 200 miles an hour.
I mean, maybe later, and I'm hoping later, but right now I don't think it's possible. She said,
I don't think so.
And then, watch tomorrow, somebody like, but it is possible. Here's my Prius going 400 miles an hour. And I'd be like, well, you're a liar.
Well, I say, if it is, please send me a video. Or if you know how to make it possible, send me the math.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope it eventually gets to
I hope that – it's sad that actually the Honda's not more excited about trying to be the ones to discover that technology.
Yeah.
I understand that it's not – we don't have the ability right now. But you would think that you'd want to be the first manufacturer to figure it out.
Be like, look what we did. But I don't know. They did not ask me.
Well, I bet if Toyota gets involved, the Honda gets their ass in gear because
– 100%.
Yeah, if you're not an American brand – car person, then Toyota and Honda are huge rivals. If you're not going, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, if you're going, with your Asian brands, it's Honda, Toyota. I'm just saying. I mean,
no, I know it's funny.
To be honest, they're all made here.
Yeah.
So you know, they're all American made cars.
No,
but,
I know.
You know, but Honda and Toyota have quite the rivalry.
They really do. They really
do. In the public sector.
They really do. Yeah.
So I bet Honda gets a little more aggressive about that if Toyota jumps in. Because Toyota will be all over trying to do a hybrid.
They'll be like, but we can. And then it'll be a pissing contest. And the rest of us will reap the benefits.
Yes, we will.
I can't wait. Let's see. Graham's got a new but kind of old sponsor in Total Quartz USA.
Yes.
So they were Bobby Rahal's sponsor back in 1992 when he won his third championship at one point.
Yeah.
So good for Graham.
Good for Graham. It's a little nostalgic.
Yeah. I think they're going to do, I know at least his they're going to be his primary sponsor for the Toyota GP in Long Beach. I would not be surprised if they don't jump in on other races.
Hmm. So that's awesome. I wouldn't be surprised about that either, especially since Long Beach is earlier in the season.
Yeah. I would see a mid to late season race they come back on.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, Ray Hall's a solid guy to partner with.
He really is. We give Graham shit, but Ray Hall, Letterman Lanigan, it's a good team to be a part of.
It's a great team to be a part of. And honestly, Graham is a solid driver.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a solid driver. I think he bitches a little too much. But I think he's a good, solid driver, and he performs well every year. I mean, he's like your standard number four batter.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
He's solid.
He's going to
come
in.
He's going to hit a home run occasionally, but he's not going to strike out.
I mean, and if he does, it's a rare occurrence, and you're like, it's fine. Next time it won't happen. We don't care.
But 99% of the time, you're scoring at least one run every time he's up to bat.
Yeah, that's a very great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, good for Rahal Letterman Lanigan.
Yep. Good for Graham.
Yeah, and then the Schmidt-Peterson livery unveil.
Oh my goodness.
Which they did that at Lucas Oil, which was very cool.
Which apparently, I think Lucas Oil is going to be the primary sponsor for Wickens, Robert Wickens, because he was... All of his shit says Lucas Oil, so they must be his primary sponsor.
That's right. So. Ooh, I wonder if he's going to be out at the Lucas Oil
Raceway.
Since that's one of his sponsors. He'll be out there for other events and things. We might run into him at some NRHA stuff.
We might run into him. But back to the livery reveal. Oh my God. So pretty.
It's so pretty. And like the shimmer. And
right. It's
almost holographic.
It's got that nice metallic sheen. And as a couple of people have said, you know, on Twitter, like seeing that under the sun. Oh my God.
Ugh,
I cannot wait. It's very pretty.
It's very pretty. I cannot wait for St. Pete. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I'm ready to go. I'm just ready to go right now. I mean, the drive is a bitch, but let's go.
Yeah, with the snow, I'm like, fuck it. I'll get the car right now.
We'll just go sit at the track and wait until March. It's fine. It's only about a month. Oh my God,
it's not even a track right now. It's just side streets. We'll just look like we're homeless.
That's fine. It's cool. When do we not look like we're homeless?
Right? We'll just be in camping chairs with coolers on the streets of St. Petersburg for the next 5 weeks.
5 weeks. Good Lord, God.
All right, so a windshield is being tested.
Yeah, this is exciting. This is very, very exciting. And I like the way that IndyCar is doing this. Last year, F1 began talk about their halo.
Yes.
Which, the more I stare at the halo, the more I realize, like, is not a safety feature. like, it's not a safety feature. As I stare at it, I was like, but what are you protecting? Because it's basically a bar in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it's supposed to protect their head, like for rollover and things like that.
But
and there's people feel very strongly about the halo as well.
Oh, God, so strong about the halo.
I would say maybe even more so than they do about the grid girls.
No, I would 100% agree with that statement.
People have lost their shit about the halo as well.
And F1 fandom is weird.
It is very weird. God, I'm glad we're IndyCar fans. IndyCar fans are easy to understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just want to go fast.
Be an asshole. Yeah, we want to go fast. And if you're going to be an asshole, like, that has to be directly related to how good of a driver you are. If there's an inverse relationship in your skill and your personality, you're out.
Yep. Yep, 100%.
That's just who we are as people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because the types of accidents that it would help in are fairly rare, which I'm not saying that we shouldn't do things to prevent, you know, rare accidents.
Right.
Obviously. A lot of our safety decisions have been made from a rare accident that results in a fatality. And anything that results in a fatality is worth looking at and seeing if it could be preventable.
Mm-hmm.
But for IndyCar, because we go faster, I don't think that the halo is a good choice for us.
Well, and halo also, because of the oval racing, there's a weird issue with the visibility and the angles because it's all set up. Like, it just can't work with oval racing.
Yeah, and that would be where I'd be concerned about it because that's our highest speeds.
Yeah.
And I would think that the halo makes it much more difficult to get out of the car.
Yeah, that, and I think with banking, while if you're taking turns on a flat course, which you're going to be doing in an F1, the moment you hit an oval with a bank, you've got a crossbar or something right in your main view.
Yeah, right in your eye line.
That's why instead of the halo, IndyCar has kind of been looking at the windshield.
Which,
I mean, it's the same. It's the same material. It's called OptiCore, made by PPG, who have been New Garden sponsors for quite a few times.
Yes,
this is the shit. Basically, it's what your airplane cockpits, or if you're traveling commercial, it's your cabin windows, everything else. That's OptiCore.
Gotcha.
So it's supposed to test very high on fire and shattering and things like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because I was concerned about the shattering and that business. And on the picture, on the article that they had, I mean, it looks like it. From the angle, it doesn't appear that it's going to inhibit getting out of the car that much.
Right.
I think that it still could. And again, that's my only concern with these is...
How can you get out of that damn car? With any of these
is, you know, are we sacrificing driver's ability to get out of the car? Because nobody wants to be Simona De Silvestro when her car's on fire and she's fucking stuck inside.
No. And I think, I agree with you. The angle that they kind of showed was weird. I saw one... because I had done tests earlier in like a wind tunnel and a simulator, and Gabby Chavez was sitting down, and it looked like it kind of there probably was a way he could get out. But I'm going to be interested to see how what Scott Dixon has to say.
I'll be very, very interested. I mean, I will say, however, that something that we're I say that we don't always mention, but the piece behind their head actually disconnects to help get them out of the car when the safety team shows up. They can actually pull that piece off.
Right.
It does not look like the windshield has the ability to do that. I mean, it's bolted in pretty intensely.
And I feel like they probably shouldn't. And I know that that sounds weird, but I would be concerned that can flip up all of a sudden.
Yeah, that if you're in a wreck, that it's going to fly off, and then it's a projectile that's going to, you know, hit another driver, like we saw with Justin Wilson.
Yeah, we got a problem there. Yeah.
Yeah, we have seen this before, and it's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean,
I don't know, but I would love to either see it in person or see, you know, like a 360 camera pan of somebody in the windshield.
And that's why I think after
in
this
the car with it.
After this test with Scott, there'll be a lot more information. I'm excited that they're doing this. I'm excited they're looking at it and they're testing it. I know, like, the medical director of IndyCar is involved in this testing heavily. So that makes me feel good. I know they're right now kind of focusing on visibility is one of the big things that this test is going to show, like sun, darkness, or dusk, I guess, and then, like, how it performs when they've got the lights on the track.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that's also an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to make sure there's not a glare, not a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't thought about that.
Are you going to have somebody there with a squeegee? Is there going to have to be, like, a squeegee man with the pit crew?
Right. Like, yeah, what happens when it starts? Yeah.
Like bugs. I'm just thinking bugs.
Yep.
That thing hits a bug at, like, 200 miles an hour. It will not go quietly.
That's true. I mean, you are going to have somebody on the pit crew that wipes that thing off when you come in.
Just a little Windex. It's fine.
Right. It's fine.
It's fine. Just Windex.
Interesting.
I will volunteer to be somebody's Windex person.
Yeah, I'd be the Windex person. I'm real good. I won't leave any streaks.
Nope. I was taught how to do it. Okay.
Much to my chagrin.
Yeah.
Dale Coyne.
Yeah.
Announced the drivers for his second car.
Now, have they made the announcement, or is this like everybody knows the announcement's going to be made, but they haven't officially made it?
I think it's been officially made. Because Dale Coyne, I mean, because I read an article where they asked him about it, and he said that he would love to just have one driver, but neither one of them had enough funding.
Ah, okay.
So, I would imagine if he's making statements like that, that it is official.
Yeah. Is it like the Harding announcement where it was official and then they made a formal announcement and everybody went, wait, what?
Right. We already knew this. Is there not anything new?
Yeah. What?
So, yeah. So they're splitting between Zachary Clemond-DeMello.
Yep.
And Pietro Fittipaldi.
Yeah. And we are not sure how they're splitting it yet.
Yeah. Fittipaldi has only done F1. Clemond-DeMello has done Indy Lights.
Yeah.
So
he did. He did one race last year he did some Sonoma for IndyCar, but that was kind of.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He filled in for somebody.
Yeah.
That's right. So I would imagine that Fittipaldi would, I mean, that they would want him to do more road courses since that's his experience. But then he also, I mean, he's a legacy driver.
I was going to say, it's Fittipaldi.
You might have heard of a guy named Emerson Fittipaldi.
Maybe.
So I can't imagine, you know, that Fittipaldi wouldn't want to drive in the Indy 500.
I know that Coyne has said he will have four cars. I believe a four-car contingent for the 500. So that would be Bourdais. I would imagine both Fittipaldi and DeMello and then Pippa.
Yeah.
So, at least, I mean, that's what my thoughts would be, unless one of those two aren't, either Clemond DeMello or Fittipaldi aren't going to drive in the 500, which I would be surprised.
But, yeah, I would be as well. But in that case, maybe Dale could have Connor for the 500.
Connor.
Or even Danica.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Danica's still waiting. She's got the ride for the NASCAR.
She's got the ride for the Daytona 500. But she does not have a ride for the Indy 500 yet, which I actually want to applaud some of our male IndyCar drivers, because they were interviewed about Danica, and this is another thing that the internet has been losing their shit about for the last month.
Oh, for like the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. And again, I say to you, whether you love her or you hate her, mm-hmm. think about how much you've been talking about her.
Yeah.
I mean, this is free advertising. It gains people, it gains viewers, yep. it gains fans, and yep. it gains money to our sport. Yep. Let it happen.
Just let it happen.
Let it happen. It's good for IndyCar.
Just sit there and let it happen.
Absolutely. And so they interviewed a few current IndyCar drivers. Scott Dixon was one of them. And I feel awful that I can't remember anybody else's name right now.
Yeah, I know.
But it was three or four of the male IndyCar drivers, and all of them, you know, said, we think it's great that she wants to come back to the Indy 500. They said she's always done well here. She was a hell of a driver when she was in IndyCar, this and that. You know, she's always been very competitive. She's been very fast at the Indy 500. You know, she's had good luck qualifying. Not a single person, not a single one of the drivers they talked to had anything negative to say about her being in the Indy 500. They all were like, yeah, hell yeah, bring her back. Like, she's always done well, and it's going to be a hell of a race. The only thing, you know, that one of the drivers mentioned, you know, I hope that she, you know, is able to get a good car.
Yeah.
But they said, you know, as long as she's not having to, you know, fight a shitty car, they had no doubts that she'll perform well in this Indy 500 as well, just because she, I mean, that's the type of driver she is. And since it's a new chassis, she's not really at a disadvantage because nobody's driven this car yet in competition.
I think so. I think if you were going to do something, this is the year to do something.
This is, you know, she's been out of it for, you know, quite a while. Yeah. She's coming back, but it's a whole new chassis, but it's new to everybody. So
we'll see.
So, yeah. We shall see. Lots of exciting announcements yet to come.
Still waiting on some stuff like Danica and other rides for the 500.
Oh, like Connor. Oh, my God.
Connor.
Dale Coyne, you broke my heart this week.
I mean, I'm just heartbroken. I'm just heartbroken.
You broke my fucking heart.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Speaking of drivers, do you want to just kind of run through everybody real quick for 2018?
Yeah.
All right.
So we've got Team Penske has Pagano, Newgarden, Power. And then Castro Neves is going to be in the Indy Grand Prix and the Indy 500.
And I'll tell you what, I'm very interested to see I think there's going to be a change in dynamics with Elio stepping out. As weird as that sounds, you know, he's been in the series for so long, so there's almost that, like, role of, I don't want to say father because that's weird and creepy, but, like, the aged master, like, that's kind of a void, and I don't know who can kind of step and fill it, if it would be Will, if it would be Simon, or, like, nobody will, so.
It's interesting. It's like you're kind of, like, when, you know, when the team captain is a senior and they graduate, then, you know, next year rolls around, it's like, okay, you know, is somebody going to step up and fill that role in the same way, or are they going to have a different role? Because I don't really see Pagano as being the team captain type guy.
No, I think he's kind of just, he's going to do what he wants. You know, he's going to do his thing. He's going to support the team, but he's kind of like me, but team.
Yes.
I mean, maybe Will.
I don't feel like he's not, you know, a good teacher.
No.
You know, I definitely feel like he's a driver that, you know, the younger drivers, you know, that Penske would have, you know, he would, you know, share insight and experience and whatever. You know, I don't feel like he's a dick by any means, but yeah, I think that Pagano is more concerned with Pagano than he is with Penske,
which is fine. I'm not gonna fault anybody for doing that.
No, and obviously Castro Neves was more concerned with Penske than he was with himself for years and years, and
look where
it got him. So
I mean, yeah. So I think that's gonna be the interesting thing about the Penske team is that there's been a change in the dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's been brewing, and it'll, I still think they're going to be a powerhouse. I will never not say that, but I think we're going to see a different attitude out of the drivers.
It will be interesting. I think also, you know, it could also be that since we're behind the scenes, that, you know, maybe the person behind everything, which I would say it's probably a good bet, is Roger Penske.
Yeah.
And that regardless of what drivers are there, he looks at their strengths and says, this is your role this season. In addition to being a driver for me, you're in charge of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that
100%. Because we all have had bosses that sometimes challenge us or make us fill roles that we don't exactly love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't put that past Roger Penske. I mean, he does like to have his Stepford drivers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe we'll see Pagano step up because Roger tells him he has to.
Yeah. I mean, it's either side. I could see Will stepping up, though.
I could see Will definitely stepping up.
Yeah. So, Will, it'll be interesting. I think they're always a team to watch, but I think there's going to be some more, like, attitude behind the scenes to watch about it.
Absolutely. I can see Newgarden being the most willing to step up, but I don't think that he has the experience that's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
not with power. Not with power and passion.
No.
They're going to be like, that's get cute. Fucked, Joe.
They'll be like, that's adorable. Sit down, rookie. I bet they still call him rookie.
Sit down, child. Adults are speaking. Sorry, what were you saying? You bet what?
Oh, I was about to say, sometimes I probably call him like rookie behind his back.
Oh, I'm sure they do. like how Gibbs on NCIS calls everybody Proby.
Yes.
When they're brand new. Like, and how you're the Proby until there's a new driver.
I bet that's it exactly.
Yeah, I bet he gets called rookie until
somebody else joins.
Until Penske joins, has a younger driver.
Yep, I agree.
So, which you also posted an interesting article, and we had discussed a little bit about this in our Race Report Road Edition last week, about why Montoya deserves a 500 ride.
It was a great blog.
Yeah, it was a great read. And it's really true. We said that, you know, as much as we love to hate Montoya, he's a hell of a driver.
He's a hell of a driver. He's right now, or he was at like Race of Champions, and I know he didn't do badly.
No.
I mean, Juan is very nice.
He's done F1, he's done IndyCar, he's done NASCAR. I mean, he's won the Indy 500 twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, has he won Monaco?
He won, so here's, and I don't have it pulled up, but I know he has won maybe two out of the three of the, and I think by three, keep talking about Juan.
Yeah.
Of racing.
Juan has won the unofficial Triple Crown, the one that other people think, that most Americans think should be the true Triple Crown, which is a NASCAR. It's the Daytona 500,
yeah,
the Indy 500, and Le Mans.
Right.
It would nix the Monaco Grand Prix. So or maybe he didn't win Le Mans, maybe he won Monaco.
Here you go. I've got it. So Juan has won the 500 and Monaco. So all he needs to do is win Le Mans, and he's in the sports car, everything.
Yeah.
So Juan is actually a better threat to win the Triple Crown than Alonso is right now.
I would agree with that.
So.
Well, and something that's interesting about Juan is that his first Indy 500 win was 2000.
Yeah, 2000. Right.
And then his second win was 2015.
My first IndyCar, yeah. My first 500, yeah.
Yeah, and the 100th.
Nope.
Or no, that's right. It was the 99th.
Yep.
That's right, because his face was on the ticket for the 100th.
Yeah.
So 2015, the 99th. And so that's a pretty good spread between winning them, but you know, he had done other things that time. He wasn't in, IndyCar full time in those 15 years.
Yeah.
And Elio won his three pretty close together. I mean, two of them were back to back.
Yeah.
And then within a few years he won his third.
Yeah.
But Juan has won a more, that's a tongue twister.
That's a tongue twister. Juan has won.
Fun has won a more recent Indy 500, and so as much as I'd love to see Elio win a fourth,
right,
do I see Elio maintaining the same type of skill as he did when he won his three Indy 500s? No, I don't.
I don't at all.
But I would say your better bet is on Montoya to win a third and a fourth Indy 500.
I would agree. I mean, as much as he's a little bit of a prima donna.
Which he absolutely is. Well, honestly, they both are.
They both are, but I feel like, if you're going to cut somebody a little bit of a break about it, it has to be Juan.
Yeah, it really does. As much as I love to hate him.
Yeah, but Juan is a good driver.
Juan will drive anything. Juan just wants to drive.
Juan can drive the NASCAR. Juan can drive the IndyCar.
Fine. Juan can drive the sports car, too.
Fine. Juan will drive the sports car. Whatever. Anyway.
Juan will drive this shuttle. Welcome to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I am Juan Pablo Montoya.
What are the
tour guide.
Indianapolis 100? Oh, God. God. When he retires, I'm actually going to secretly be really sad.
You know, I am too. And I really wish that, you know,
he could
that somebody was still letting him drive like they are Tony Kanaan, because I think that he still has a couple years of good driving in him. But, you know, part of it might be that he is such a prima donna that nobody wants to work with
him. They were like, we're done.
They're like, listen, we've had all of you that we can take.
We just can't right now.
Yeah. 13579, because I fucking can't.
Well, moving on to from Penske to Andretti. So we've got Marco, God, Hellicker. Marco, RHR, Veach, and Rossi this year in the Andretti stable of drivers.
Yes.
Oh, first of all, I still wish that Marco would actually be an actual driver and not just do it because his dad and his grandfather want him to do it.
Yep.
I have,
just break the news to them. Let them know.
We'll be here for you. We can help you out, Marco.
Yeah.
We've all had to make those bad conversations with family. It's fine.
Right.
I mean, I'm secretly excited to watch Zach Veach. I just am.
I am too. He's so excited, and I'm just very excited to see what he brings to the table this season.
I think enthusiasm.
To watch him grow.
Yeah. I just think that enthusiasm will turn into somebody who is just out there working hard, is what I'm picking up.
I agree.
So, I'm excited. And, of course, Rossi, I've called it now since, like, mid-last season. 2018 is going to be a great season to watch Alexander Rossi.
Oh, I think that it could be a Rossi winning the championship kind of year.
If he does not get champion, I would have him in top three.
Oh, I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah, so he's consistently improved. There's not been really a backsliding. It's been a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2018 is going to be a good year to be on Team Rossi. Clutch and chill.
I think so, too.
Clutch and chill.
Well, honestly, and we make jokes about him being a sociopath, not showing emotion, but,
you know,
I would say that there are times that he puts Scott Dixon to shame on the nickname Iceman.
Yeah.
And I think that adjusting to this chassis, you know, we've said before, you know, that statistically Dixon and Power adjust the best and the quickest to new cars, new courses, etc. They're the most versatile drivers. And I think that we're going to see Rossi's name added into that this year.
I would agree with you, yeah.
I think that he is going to seamlessly float into the new IndyCar and figure it out very quickly and dominate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he and Zach are definitely on my list to watch.
Plus, Zach is just so damn excited.
I mean, he's so giddy.
And we don't get that from a lot of our drivers, you know, because they're, you know, trying to...
Be cool.
But, you know, he's just young and giddy, and, yeah, you can't help but love the kid.
You really can't help but love the kid. And I get to call him a kid and not feel weird about calling him a kid because he's, like, what, 20?
He looks 13.
He looks 13. I'm still not convinced he's old enough to legally drive.
Agreed.
Like,
I want to see his driver's license.
I
don't want to turn this into a, like, where's Obama's birth certificate kind of thing, but where's the driver's license?
I mean, all we're asking for is a picture that shows your birth year.
That's all we want.
The short form of the driver's license is fine.
Yeah, don't post your address, none of that. I just want a federal or state issued ID with your picture and a birth date.
Yes, I agree. poor kid. Jesus. All right.
And then Andretti for the 500 is going to have two additional vehicles.
Yeah. My boy Stefan and Carlos.
Hell yeah.
Carlos Munoz.
Excellent. I think that Andretti Autosport is coming at this 500 saying, what curse?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the team itself has shown very well at the 500. If you think about RHR, Rossi, Takuma have all won it. The only driver who hadn't for a while was Marco. And, you know, it's fine. So, no, I think they come at the 500 with the knowledge that they're kind of the reigning champs of the 500, and they want to keep winning there.
Agreed. And I just think it's awesome that they have six fucking cars.
I mean, six cars.
Six cars. I mean, that's more than 1/6 of the field.
Yeah, if they all make it in, it's going to be amazing for Andretti.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I also have a secret desire for Stefan to get in. I think what he's doing with the whole thing with the donor network with all the names on the car is very touching. And I mean, so personally, I want him to get in, so.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to have any problem qualifying.
No, I don't think so either.
Even with bumping, I mean, Munoz and Wilson are both solid qualifiers for the 500, and Andretti's not going to put them in shitty cars.
Yeah. So
I mean, let's be honest, it's going to be backup cars that they're going to use the rest of the season anyway. So they're going to be quality cars.
Oh, I 100% agree. So,
yeah.
Good on Andretti. I mean, they're not backing down from the 500.
No, and honestly, I mean, we talk a lot of shit about the Andretti's as a family, but as a team, I really do love them as a race team, and I love that they're coming out, and I think that them as a team are going to give Penske a run for their money this year.
I think so. I think it's going to be a good fight between the two teams.
Yeah, I think Andretti, I mean, it has, you know, grown slowly but surely, and they have, I mean, really, really honed their team, with the exception of Marco. you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure RHR and Rossi are getting tired from carrying the team, but but you know, I think that, you know, RHR and Rossi are both great drivers.
Yeah.
You know, they've built this over seasons and seasons. You know, they're engineers, everybody works together. And I think that they're going to come out this season and say, hey, Penske's not the only team that you need to keep your eyes on.
They're going
to
come out swinging. You know? Let's go.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. Chip Ganassi has Scott Dixon, who they never got rid of.
Nope.
And Ed Jones.
Which, you know, was the whole controversy like 3 months ago.
Yeah, because Ed was supposed to go with Dale Coyne, right?
Yes, and then there was the whole handshake, not handshake, but then Dale Coyne wouldn't come down, and so Ed started talking with Chip, and which just leads me back to what I always tell people, write this shit down.
Get it in writing.
Because a verbal contract, really not that enforceable.
Doesn't mean shit.
Although, at the same time, I think that Ed Jones is going to feel some pressure to perform. I mean, Chip culled half of his team last year, and he is very...
Yeah.
I mean, his, like, hashtag that he uses is hashtag I like winners. You know, that basically is saying, if you don't win, I will look hard at you. And we both know Scott's going to do well.
Yeah.
And I think it's Ed's going to feel some pressure to perform.
Oh, I think so.
So, you know.
The pressure is definitely on. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't do well, he's getting cut faster than an AJ Foyt driver.
Ha ha! I really like that joke. No, I agree. Crazy. So we'll see how Ed does. So we'll see.
That should be
interesting
to listen to.
Yeah. Oop.
All right, Schmidt-Peterson, of course, Team Canada, Team BFF.
Team BFF, team I'm all in on. I'm all in on Schmidt-Peterson.
All in. They've got Lena Gard, and they've got Hinchcliffe and Robert Wickens.
And, I mean, we could talk about it. Like, so we're BFFs, and, you know, we do this podcast together every week, and I know that there's a weird issue with, like, your teammate in racing is also, like, your best asset, but also your worst asset, if you would think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they know everything, but, you know, Hinch and Wickens have known each other for years. They did karting together. I think they're going to share information very well to benefit the other, but at the same time, they're not going to just let the other one pass them, so.
Oh, hell no. I mean, if you and I were competing, like, yeah, we would absolutely share stuff like, hey, you know, I figured this out, or hey, da, da, da. But when it comes down to it,
like,
I'm not gonna hold back.
No,
because I love you.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what's gonna make it a really great team. I also think they're gonna have a lot of fun, and that's part of it as well. When you are in a very stressful environment, to know that you can kick back with your teammate after it's done and relax, that's very helpful. So
I agree.
So I'm in. I mean, Schmidt-Peterson had a few missteps earlier this year, with the murderer. but they hired Lena Gade, who, besides being a woman, has an amazing resume. They've got Hinch, who, when he doesn't have a weird car issue, which I think Lena's going to really step in and help, he's a great driver.
Thank God.
Thank God. So it's, they're going to be...
And he's fearless.
He's, I mean, the man was a shish kebab, but he's back out there driving.
Yeah, and the next year won the poll.
Oh my God, I was beside myself when he won that poll.
Right? Came out like...
Not today.
Not today, Satan.
I'm going to take this track and make it my bitch.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I think I'm in on Schmidt-Peterson. I don't know. I think Wickens is going to have a bit of a curve, so I don't know how well they're going to do as a team, but I don't think it's going to be a bad showing.
No, I don't think so either.
So, I'm excited. I'm going to have to get some Schmidt-Peterson stuff.
Yeah. Although, again, Wickens, I mean, is coming in a good year because this chassis is going to throw everybody for a loop. That's, so,
yep, you're right. You're right. Okay.
So yeah. I mean, he might actually do better this year than he would have, you know, had they brought him in last year.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited.
I am too. All right. Dale Coyne.
We've already talked about Zachary Clayman DeMello and Pietro Fittipaldi. So.
Yep.
And then
we've got Bourdais. Oh, I was going to say, there was an article that called Bourdais Dale Coyne's ace in the hole.
Okay.
And I thought, I don't know that I would go that far. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Bourdais is a total badass. I love his French accent. I think that he's a very aggressive, competitive driver. And, I mean, the fact that he got in that wreck and came back for the last two races of the season, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I know that he performs well.
Yes.
Okay, and consistently performs well.
Right.
But like Ray Hall, you know, he's very solid, but...
He's
not hitting home runs every single time. So I think ace in the hole is a little bit overstating.
It's a bit of a stretch. No, I agree. He's solid, but he's not.
Yeah. And now, do I think that Dale Coyne has a man crush on Bourdais? Oh, there's 100% of bromance there.
Yeah.
There is a bromance afoot.
A Bruin.
But yeah, I was like, I don't know that I was the ace in the hole.
That's a bit of a stretch. So
yeah,
we'll see. Ray Hall, Letterman Lanigan, Graham Ray Hall has to figure out what it's like to be a sibling.
He does.
Welcome to sibling life. Child
for a long time. Luckily, his wife has sisters, so hopefully he's gotten to observe some of the family dynamics in the Force family.
Yeah,
because
He's got a teammate.
Mom and dad adopted a kid from Japan, and his name is Takuma Sato.
I think there's going to be a little bit of a dynamic there.
There is. Well, and Sato won the Indy 500 and then, you know, won one or two poles after that, but really didn't do much else rest of the season. I mean, he did fine.
He did fine.
He finished in the top 10, I believe, but, you know, it wasn't anything spectacular. If anything, I was disappointed by his showing the rest of the season after winning the Indy 500.
I expect a lot if you win the Indy 500.
Yeah, but again, we discussed that we think he was kind of getting, you know, pushed to the wayside at Andretti, and I think he might do better on a smaller team where he can get more one-on-one attention.
I think,
where everybody's not focusing on a teammate of yours that really shouldn't have a ride.
Well, I mean, I think it'll be helpful for Sato, definitely. I just don't know how Graham's going to react to it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very interesting. I will say it's also funny that he's going from, you know, a legacy team to a legacy team.
That's true.
You know, because Ray Hall has a ride because of his dad, but Ray Hall's a good driver, right. So I think he deserves a ride. So yeah, it'll be very interesting on how Ray Hall does. Deals with that.
That's kind of more of what I'm watching with that team, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be good for Sato. I think that he's going to have a better season.
Definitely. Well.
So, but yeah, hopefully Ray Hall, hopefully there's not too many
growing
tiffs between the
siblings. Hashtag team sibling.
Exactly.
So Foyt.
TK.
And then Matthias. Laced.
Yep. Don't get too comfortable in that seat.
Boy, I know that TK signed a multi-year deal. I don't know what Lace's deal was.
I'm sure Lace did not. AJ Foyt does not like to do that. So.
And, yeah. I mean, he's going to have to go out there to something to prove. And honestly, if you're driving like you have something to prove, either you're going to do very well or you are going to overcompensate and do something stupid. And my concern is that, really, Lace has only been in, like, single-seater things for, like, 3 years before the start of this season. I mean, he had some karting experience, but as far as lights, he was in a world something and then a Brazil something. Like, that's only 3 years. And his lights career wasn't spectacular. It was up and down. He would do very well, and then he would place, like, 13th or 14th.
Yeah, it was unpredictable. It was not a consistent.
And it just gives me pause.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I would love, as a wonderful act of karma, for Lace to get bumped out of the field for the Indy 500.
I mean, there's Schadenfreude. First of all, we hate to see anybody bumped, but we also love to see people bumped.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even going to pretend that I don't enjoy it.
And if he does get bumped, everybody needs to mute both our professional Twitter and our personal Twitters for the amount of shit-talking that will ensue.
Yeah. We are going to talk so much hardcore shit, and we are going to tag Connor Daly in all of this.
I mean, like, that was a great like, I will sit in front of Foyt Winery and just shit-talk for 24 hours straight, basically.
And like, I will walk down pit row yelling Larry Foyt with two birds up in the air.
Your rosé is bad and you should feel bad.
You should feel bad.
And this is karma.
Walk down pit road. Was it worth it?
But was it worth it? So we'll see about Matthias. I mean, obviously TK's in there and he's just, it's TK.
He's solid.
He's solid. I mean, my thought is that it's a multi-year deal. I would not be surprised if at the end of this deal that he kind of just bows out.
Yeah, I would bet so.
But it's a couple of years, so I'm not saying this season, but I don't know if it's 2 or 3 season deal.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, within the next 5 years, TK will not be doing IndyCar full-time.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he's still there for the 500. I mean, he has to be.
Absolutely. Well, I would love him. I would love to see him take a role on a team.
Yeah. Oh, I think he definitely should be on a team as in some sort of role. Yeah.
Some sort of fashion. I think that he would be a wonderful resource on a team. Honestly, Juan Pablo would be a great resource, but I don't think that he's a good teacher. I think that he...
I think that's the problem with Juan.
I think that is a problem with Juan, and it's unfortunate because I feel like he has a lot of knowledge and experience, but I don't feel like he is a...
He's not... Juan can drive. Juan cannot teach the driver.
Yeah. Juan does not have time for idiots.
No, Juan will not help you. Juan says you can help yourself.
Juan thinks you are too dumb to drive regular car.
Juan is wondering, do you have driver's license?
Juan will not teach you to race. You cannot even drive.
Juan will be taking your driver's license. All right. Ed Carpenter Racing.
ECR. So Spencer Pigot, this is full-time.
First year full-time,
moving up in the world.
I'm excited. I think, you know, he's got a very... It's a nice way to bring a driver up. He had the lights. He was a lights champion. He did road courses for Ed. He's done the 500. Yeah, this is the next logical step.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I will say, I think that is one nice thing about how Ed runs his team, is that you kind of ease into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's pros and cons, you know. Obviously. Everybody else gets a trial by fire. But I think that it's interesting. And obviously, this system works well since Newgarden won the championship last year.
I mean, there's proof.
There's something to be said for how it does things.
Yeah.
So first full-time year for Pigot. Very exciting.
Very excited for him. Ed's there still.
Because Daddy doesn't do road courses.
Daddy only does ovals. I know that we want Elio to win, and then we've also talked about, you know, Juan getting a ride and winning. But part of me is like, maybe if Ed wins the 500, he can have a serious discussion with himself about what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah, get that 500 win. Get your name on the board, Werner.
And then step back.
And then just step back and just be a team owner.
Like, I get it. I get the desire to win the 500. But at some point you have to go, like, at what cost is me just driving ovals?
It's true. Although, to be fair, Ed is the same age that we are.
Is he really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he is. maybe 1 year older. So, yeah. So, Ed's 33 or 34. So, you know, when I put in perspective of that, I think, would I be willing to step back at this point in my life? I don't know. I don't think so.
But the problem is he's not doing full-time. Like, that's my biggest issue. Either go full-time or don't, or just run the 500 and don't. But don't do this weird halvesies thing. I still have not seen enough about the new oval qualifying system that it's not going to fuck him.
Yeah.
I mean,
we don't know if that's going to – we don't know if it's going to fuck Ed. Although, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it matters when Ed qualifies.
I think it doesn't.
Ed qualifies well on ovals, period.
I mean, it's like what we talked about when we discussed it. Like, if you're a good driver, it doesn't matter when you qualify.
Yeah, like, you're just bitching about shit to bitch about shit. So even if the new system does fuck Ed, I don't think that it's really going to make that much of a difference for him.
So Ed's got one part of the car. Jordan King is doing the road courses. And Jordan King, all I have to say is, welcome to Ed Carpenter Racing, and don't fuck up Ed's car.
He will beat your ass.
That's your one job. Don't fuck up Ed's car.
The first time he nicks that car, Pickett's going to look at him and just say, that's 40. 40 lashes. Daddy's going to be upset.
Daddy's going to be really... Spencer just starts, like, rocking and self-soothing. Rocking in
the corner. Field position.
Oh, yeah. God. Daddy's going to be upset. No.
We are horrible.
We are. It's okay.
All right. Harding Racing has Gabby Chavez confirmed.
Yeah.
And then they have a potential open spot.
They've kind of talked about if everything falls into place, they'll have a second car. But that means funding and everything else. So
I actually tweeted at them. I quoted a Connor Daly thing, and I was like, I'm looking at you, Harding Racing.
I mean, if he's got sponsorship, it's a good fit. Harding is it's the Speedway team. Really, it's the Speedway team since Ed's moving.
Yep.
Harding Racing, I drive by every time I come visit you in Speedway.
Yep.
It's a good fit. I also think I will be interested to see how they do because they've got good staff with Barnhart and Unser Jr. in there. So
they do.
And Gabby has a good record. I know we give Gabby a little bit of shit.
I mean, he's a little androgynous.
But first of all, who do we not give shit to?
I mean, if we're not making fun of you, then it's because we just don't care about you.
That's really how you should look at it, people.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not making fun of you...
You're just not worth our time.
That's when you should be upset.
Yeah. I think...
I mean, we love Will, we love Dixon, we love Connor, but we have memes making fun of all of them.
Yeah.
It's
just how we show our love.
Right? Like, you love Rossi, and we make fun of Rossi even more than we make fun of Marco.
We really do. Like, there are some shit we can't even... my parents have even joined in on the Rossi serial killer thing.
Yes.
Like, Mom will send me stuff, and I'll be like, all right, Teresa, let's go.
So, Gabby is a decent driver. He hasn't raced IndyCar.
He's had a weird history with IndyCar because he's been kind of pushed on different teams. He's kind of one of those, like, suddenly fill-in drivers. But he's not done bad as a fill-in driver.
He's
not done
bad, and I don't think he's ever done a full season with IndyCar.
No, he's always had weird partial seasons.
Yeah.
But he was, rookie of the year 2015. No, he's rookie of the year 2015, so he's had to done at least, four races, eight races to do rookie of the year?
I don't remember what it is.
I'd have to stare at it. I looked at it this morning. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I've drank since then.
Word. So, Gabby, I think Harding Racing will be one that we'll definitely want to support. Well, and Gabby Chavez really is a super nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
And he is super friendly with fans and just awesome to interact with.
I mean, he's what you want in a driver, so.
Absolutely. So I think that's going to be an easy team for us to support this season.
Yeah. I agree.
So looking at that open spot.
Yeah, but, you know, there's an open spot there, Harding, kind of-ish.
Yep.
Carlin Racing with Chilton Kimball.
Why can't I learn? For those of you that forgot about that from the Bomberito,
we have not.
Yeah, we have not, and we're going to be yelling that every time we talk about Chilton the entire season.
I mean, here's the deal. I do not see Chilton or Campbell doing any better than what they have been doing.
The only one I see possibly doing better is Chilton.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think that Kimball has done as good as he's ever going to do, and I wish that people would stop fucking sponsoring him.
Right, he's not the better
you're
diabetic.
You're not a good driver, and you're not a good diabetic.
Oh, shit, straight to hell.
I know, I'm just kidding. Obviously he's a good diabetic.
But he's not the best diabetic.
He's not the best diabetic, no.
That's Connor.
Connor is the better diabetic.
We should put that on a t-shirt.
Oh my God, yes.
Just wears yes. all the races. Just hate. I mean, like, Connor's the better diabetic.
Anyway. I think we could sell those. Connor's a better driver and a better diabetic.
We could make some money.
I mean, there's a lot of Charlie Kimball hate.
There is, surprisingly.
Yeah. I mean, he fucking causes accidents. That's why. Obviously, he's a fine diabetic, whatever. Right. But he's really not that good of a driver competitively. He's kind of dangerous to the other drivers on the road.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like drivers are probably more upset that he has a ride than spectators are. I wouldn't want to be on a road course with him. Really? How many accidents has he caused or damn near caused?
Right. I mean, like, Charlie Kimball's racing? I'm out. I'm going to get a sandwich.
He fucks something up every single race.
That's why everybody on Twitter calls it being Kimballed. Like, it's not just there to be funny. Like, there's a reason behind this shit.
Yeah. When your name is used as a verb, it's almost never in a positive way.
It really isn't. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not holding out hope for Carlin Racing. I mean,
I'm not either.
I'm excited there's another team, but that's about it for me.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Jack Harvey.
I would have loved to see them take Connor. I would have been all in for Carlin.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So Shank Racing.
With Jack Harvey. So,
yep, who we love.
His eyes.
They're so... those blue eyes. I could stare into them for hours.
I don't even think
I could interview him in person because I wouldn't even listen to anything he said. I would just be lost.
Every time I see him, I just have to laugh about our text exchange. We both, at the same time, sent each other something like, oh my God, his eyes.
His eyes.
The most girl thing we've ever really done. Oh my God, his eyes.
Text exchange ever.
But
we're texting back and forth about a race and having a very, very masculine conversation. And then, oh my God, do you see those eyes?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So he's only doing 6 races right now, including the 500.
I'm excited. I think Shank really, like, he's, every interview with Michael Shank has talked about they really want to make the step up. They really want to be in any car. They want to be a good competitor. So I think that team behind Harvey is really going to be pushing.
I think so, too. And I think that it's smart of them to, you know, to do 6 races, obviously include the 500, and really push for solid performance in those and then try to build from that rather than, you know, overextend yourself and maybe run a full season, but then have no money left. And then, you know,
something happens.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
So I hope that this springboards them into being able to fund a full season next year.
I do, too. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
It was very fun to watch. And I hope that even this season that they're able to maybe even add a few more races in.
I mean, I think that's the goal for them, but they're just kind of seeing how it goes, which is smart. See what happens.
Yeah. It is. It's very smart. All right. Juncos Racing.
Kyle Kaiser, lights champion of last year. So he's going to got something to prove. I think he'll be okay. It'll be like Spencer his first year. I'm not expecting a lot, but I'm expecting a good showing.
Yeah.
And then Renee Binder, who honestly, I just don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And we'll see. Again, it's another team. Juncos has got a very strong lights program, and now they're stepping into IndyCar. So they have familiarity with everything, so that should be helpful.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Interesting.
I do want to point out that, so like last year, the Rookie of the Year competition was literally Ed Jones.
Yeah.
This year, if I'm doing the math correctly, we have 8 rookies.
So who all do we have?
Let's see. I put a note by, I wrote them down. Let's see. Veach is a rookie. To be a rookie, you have to do, I think.
Oh, and you're talking for the whole season, not for the Indy 500.
Right. Not for the, yeah, I'm looking whole season.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're going to make me.
So Veach, yeah, because he didn't run enough to qualify.
Wickens is a rookie.
Yep.
Clement DeMello.
Clement, yep, and Fittipaldi.
Yep, and then Laced is a rookie.
Yep.
King is a rookie.
Yep.
And then Kaiser and Binder. Is that eight? And I don't know if... And see, I don't know if Jack Harvey would be considered a rookie or not. I think so, actually. I think we have nine.
Hmm.
I'd have to look. But I think it's nine now. Eight or nine. And I stared at it. I can't remember if it's four races or half races make you a rookie. I just had to pull it up in the rules. Did I shut it? Nope. Shut it down.
That's all right.
But that's exciting because we've not really had it's a big rookie crop this year.
It is.
And I think at least half of those rookies are going to be in the 500.
Oh, I would agree. So it'll be interesting for the rookie of the year for the 500.
Yeah.
And just throughout the season, just to have that much new blood.
I think it always helps. It helps the series.
It does. It does. When we want young, up and coming drivers, but I think that, there might be. I foresee quite a few disagreements between the more experienced drivers and the new drivers.
Oh yeah, I think that's going to happen.
I foresee some yelling.
I foresee us looking at each other with our headphones on and going, "Oh my God, did you just hear that?"
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a great season to have headphones, which if you don't have any, you should pick some up from Race Electronics.
Or you can also use the app on your cell phone if you're a Verizon customer.
If you're a Verizon customer.
Yeah. So.
All right, Dreyer and Reingold.
Yeah, so they've got two cars. They've talked about they're going to have two cars for the 500. Nobody's been named yet.
So, interesting.
We're just waiting.
They're just teasing people right now.
I mean, the thought is Sage is going to have one of them because that's who he's been racing the 500 with.
But didn't he just get dropped?
That was with, and I think it was with his, so he races in a couple of other series. His other series.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he does the endurance races as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Sage, probably will be one of those.
I'm imagining Sage is one. I just didn't want to put his name in. You know, I'm weird. Until I have a confirmation, I'm not going to put your name in the list.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So
our other drivers waiting for a ride, obviously our favorite, Connor Daly.
Yep. Sage.
Yep.
A while back, Santiago Rutio, who does lights, had made this huge thing where he was like, I'm going to have an IndyCar ride. I'm just waiting on one thing to, finish. That never happened, by the way. Never happened.
Well, I think he...
Somebody's got a little bit too big for their britches.
Yeah, he shot his load too quick.
Well, there's that. some other names. Esteban Gutierrez's name has been thrown around for a while. Vautier's name. But Vautier's doing a lot of the endurance stuff. I think he was at Bathurst this past weekend, so... Davison's hinted he wanted a ride.
He did. In fact, he hinted that he was actively working towards a ride. So
maybe that's just a 500 ride.
Yeah, because he didn't mention the rest of IndyCar. I mean, I think that he would enjoy that, but yeah, he definitely wanted to do the 500 again. So, and I would love to see him do the 500 again.
I would not be surprised if he didn't.
I mean, and I can see him doing very well, especially since it might be the only 500 where he knows more than a week and a half ahead of time.
God, Gertie.
But yeah, I mean, I love Davison.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He is a good guy. So, all right, which, speaking of, I just started following Davison on Snapchat.
Oh, boy.
And on that note, you should check out our social media.
Yep.
So I heard that Davison was pretty hilarious, but I don't know if he's going to stack up against us. So
we're pretty good.
We're pretty good. You can find everything you need from us at our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fastcarsfastgirls, or you can simply search Fast Cars Fast Girls in the search bar of your Facebook page. Yep. You can find us on Twitter at FastCarsN317, on Instagram at FastCarsFastGirls, and on Snapchat, FastCars, FSTGRLS.
No vowels.
You can, no vowels in the last two words, because we didn't have that many characters. You can find us on pretty much every podcast hosting site.
Yeah.
You can subscribe directly from the website. You can listen on the website, or you can go in to your iTunes podcast app and search us there. You can find us on the Google Play Store, Stitcher, Spotify, yep. Blurberry,
iHeartRadio.
We're on all of them.
All. You can also listen to us from our Facebook page. We post the audio to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel.
Oh, that's right. We have a YouTube channel. Yeah, Fast Cars, Fast Girls.
We don't have a lot of stuff on there right now.
No, I always forget about the YouTube channel.
That's okay.
So yeah, make sure to check us out. Tell your friends and family. Like, rate, and review, please.
Please, please, please. It helps us. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of fun. Let's just leave it like that right now.
It's going to be a good IndyCar season, so now's the time to get on board. And early discussions of merchandise have begun. So I can't confirm anything right now, but there will be some Fast Cars, Fast Girls merch that will be for sale this season. So you want to get in on the ground floor of this, I promise.
You really want the t-shirts, because we're pretty hilarious.
We're pretty funny, and it's only going to get bigger and better from here.
Yeah. Our woman of the week. You still there?
Yeah. Woman of the week.
Nicole Lyons. So a little background. Nicole Lyons, her father was a street racer, so obviously racing's in her blood.
Obviously.
She started in 2005 in the NHRA stock racing. So she did the top sportsman and comp class, which is like the full body cars, and they run in the single elimination.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the, she's done like a 4,500 horsepower pro mod. She's also won several outlaw pro mod drag racing events, which I just like the name outlaw in front of a drag race.
Hell yeah.
It just
sounds totally badass.
So she, yeah. Quite a good history there with NHRA. She also did NASCAR. In 2013, she was the first African-American female to race and finish in the NASCAR Whelen Series, which is one of their feeder series. It's the short track series.
Sure.
In that series, she would qualify top 10 and finish top 10 at races. So it wasn't just like she started and ended like last. No, she was top 10 in a couple of things.
Good for her.
Yeah. And what's kind of even more badass, I feel, is that in 2013, she was the first African-American female who raced both in NASCAR and NHRA in the same season.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty insane.
Very different types of racing.
Right? Like, it's two completely separate disciplines of racing.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
I thought so. I definitely thought so. And then, of course, while she's not racing, when she's off the track, she also is head of a company that builds engines and they restore muscle cars.
Really?
Yeah. It's Cole Muscle Cars is the name of it.
Huh.
So she's all about the racing, it seems, like from 7A to 7P. You know, 9 to 5 is racing. She races on the weekends.
That's awesome. Well, and another interesting article that I read this week about, you know, women in racing, grid girls, women at the track, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
You know, something that we don't, that I think is not mentioned. And again, because we're women, well, women are drivers, you know, we respect them for being drivers and all that, but you don't think about the fact that, you know, to be a driver in any professional, semi-professional series, you know, you start when you're young. And yeah. So you work your way up. And a lot of that involves you working on your own car,
yeah,
and helping to build and engineer different parts of your own car. And so I think something that gets lost on the wayside with our female drivers that we, you know, should just assume is that they're all pretty handy under the hood too.
I mean, yeah, of quite a few.
You know, they could take that car apart and put it back together. It's not that they just know how to drive. I mean, they understand the inner workings of that car. They are badasses all around. So yeah. That's fucking awesome to rebuild and restore muscle cars. I mean, muscle cars are just...
Ugh, right there.
There are a few things more, like, American than a good muscle car.
100%.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love seeing that.
I do, too. I was real excited when I saw that. I was like, get some...
Right. Well, and I grew up, I mean, my dad worked on cars, and I grew up, you know, working on cars with him, like from the time I was five on, you know, I'd be in the garage with dad. And so I love seeing women that can work on their own cars.
I think it's kind of one of those things, like when you know you can do stuff to your own car, you just feel empowered. It's a very empowering feeling to be like, it's fine. I can fix this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's our woman of the week, Nicole Lyons.
Nicole Lyons, way to go.
Which is also a really cool name for a race car driver.
Yeah, it is. So, I would have had like, lion. I don't know, like a paw with, I don't know, something about a lion like on the helmet.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I would totally played on that for sure.
I've also been accused of being a little too kitsch though, so whatever. I just enjoy it.
I mean, yeah, I often am the first one to say that I'm over the top. So, but.
Yeah, I just embrace it.
Right? It's who I am.
Shit we didn't make up.
So, we talked a while back about how much Indiana loves race cars and how, like, our state has built in, like, a tax break and all of this good stuff. Well, it used to, there was a moment in history where... The Indianapolis 500 was not going to be held on Memorial Day weekend.
Interesting.
And it all kind of dates back to the idea of veterans and Memorial Day and the remembrances that go on. This happened in like 1912, so there were veterans from the Spanish-American War who were very upset that this race was being held on Memorial Day. And actually, to go back a bit further, really when it started, and this was before it was known as the Indianapolis 500, so back when it was a shorter race and everything else, it was actually held on Labor Day.
Really?
Yeah, and it got moved to Memorial Day in 1911. They had kind of discussed when to move it, and obviously you kind of want to move it over. I get it. You want to move it to where there's almost a three-day weekend.
Sure.
And... It was on Labor Day, and it got moved to Memorial Day. There's kind of two schools of thought. They couldn't have it on July 4th because, you know, people take their summer vacations, and the 4th of July moves every year. Mm. And they couldn't keep having it on Labor Day because the unions kind of got pissy.
Well, I get that.
And if there's one group of people you really don't want to piss off, it's the Teamsters, especially if you're in motorsports.
Yeah, I mean, the UAW... They're not to be trifled with.
They will not be. And a lot of your union guys and girls are very involved in racing. I get it. Like, do you?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, laborers have fought for employee rights, and that's what Labor Day represents, is that, you know, we have 8-hour work days, we have regulations, we have all these things to protect the worker.
Yeah.
And then you create an event that utilizes the very group of people that started labor unions in the first place.
Yeah.
And forces him to work on their holiday.
So I understand. It's kind of two schools of thought. I lean more, I don't know, part of me understands the whole idea of, well, you can't have it on the 4th of July. It moves every year. You're not guaranteed a weekend. I go back and forth on that. So they ultimately switched it to Memorial Day. That angered veterans so much so that they started to protest every year about... having it on Memorial Day, and there's a very good article. It's actually a paper written for IU about the interplay of veterans' rights and Memorial Day and the Indy 500. It got so bad that in 1923, Robert Moorhead, who was an Indianapolis senator, Indiana senator at the time, he authored a bill that prohibit any commercial sports on Memorial Day, which would, in effect, say you can't have the Indianapolis 500 on Memorial Day or over Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of argument ensued, obviously, at that point.
Oh, definitely.
It did pass houses. The governor at the time, Governor Warren McCrae, did veto the bill. And, I mean, I can go into it because this is what I kind of studied my whole life, is the whole idea of class legislation and big cities versus small cities. Because if you think about it, this bill really just punished Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But anyway, it did get vetoed, ultimately.
It did, yeah, I say that's very interesting. But yeah, it it did not really affect the rest of
the city.
Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, spectator-wise, yes, but employee-wise.
Like, that's a big tax thing for Speedway, for Indianapolis, for the surrounding areas, with how many people come in and spend money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's without the track, Speedway wouldn't be, the town of Speedway would not be what it is.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I mean, the city of Indianapolis wouldn't be what it is without the Indianapolis 500. I mean, so much, so many people come in and spend so much money, you know.
Yeah.
On that event.
So it did get vetoed, thankfully. But a lot of people kind of point to this as a reason why the four original kind of Speedway founders really kind of started looking at selling the track and everything.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to be fighting that much opposition, I'd be like, all right, fucking, I'm out.
Right, like, deuces. Somebody else can handle this. I'm out. Yeah. That was interesting.
Yep. All right, fine.
Fine.
You guys want to fuck it up? Take it.
Somebody else can deal with this bullshit. I'm out.
Right. I don't get paid enough for this.
Fuck this shit. I'm out.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You're cool. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
So yeah, a little, it was interesting when I came across that.
And then that is interesting.
I went down
that is a piece of Speedway history that I did not have knowledge of.
I will send you the article. I found it late last night. It was very interesting.
Well, well done. It is rare for somebody to have a piece of trivia about the Indy 500 and that track that I don't have. So,
Ooh, well done.
Well done, Hilliker.
Deep, deep Google hole.
Yeah.
Deep.
You went down quite the rabbit hole. That might even be a foxhole.
I think at one point I was on the dark interweb, but I don't know.
Well, if you get that shipment of MDMA from the dark web, I guess we can go to the snake pit.
It's the only way we can survive the snake pit.
If you accidentally ordered that while you were down there.
It might have happened. I don't know. It got late. It got late.
Hey, as long as you ordered it under your brother's name, that's all that matters.
Hey, man, that's all that counts. That's all that counts. All right. Well, we probably need to wave the white flag.
We probably do.
What do you got for me?
Well, I am interested to see what continues to happen with the Greek girl discussion.
Yeah.
And I hope that the discussion gets to what it should be and not just, you know,
creepers and
feminist groups.
I was trying to think of a non-
I have no problem with feminist groups. I think that, you know, sometimes we overcompensate and miss the mark. So yeah. I hope that the conversation gets to what it should be, which is, you know, it's fine if you have promotional modeling and spokespeople and whatever. You know, all of our newscasters, their jobs are all based on appearance.
Yeah.
And nobody has a problem with that.
Looking at you, Sean,
they're not just sitting there. You know, they actually have degrees. They have experience. They can think. And, you know, they are allowed to use their brains. And so I think that showing all of the multiple things and, you know, all the different facets of what women can do in any industry is what should be the focus of this.
Yeah.
And I hope that that part of the conversation continues. And I really hope that, you know, even though F1 angered all of the Greek girls, that this is the first step. I hope that this is the first step in the right direction of welcoming more women into F1 and for F1 to join the rest of us in the 21st century.
let's all hope so.
So yeah. And I will continue to harass people online about sponsoring Connor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just spoiler alert. So what do you have for your white flag?
Well, actually, it's Connor. I'm just disappointed that he doesn't have a ride. I think one of the things that our series has to realize is that a lot of the demographic is, I mean, let's call it our father's ages, which there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of the guys that we hang out with the track are our father's age. They're great, but you need to start looking for ways to attract younger fans. I would say our demographic, but not just our demographic, but like this year for the 500, my niece will be coming to one of the races.
Absolutely.
You need to find a way to find that younger, dare I say, snake pit crowd. Because the snake, but snake pit kids will eventually maybe age out of the snake pit. And I think Connor was a very good driver to kind of bridge that gap. And besides that, he was a good driver as well. Like, he was a good driver as well. I don't want to just sit here and harp that he's great for marketing. He's a fine driver. And it's unfortunate. I wish he had a ride. And I think with him not having a ride, the other people like Veach and who's young, but I just don't know if. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that he's got the personality to, again, to go back to appearance.
He looks like
a kid. Yeah. You know, Joseph Newgarden has a lot of fans, and he's a hell of a driver, but he's also real easy to look at. and that doesn't hurt. You know, he's got a lot of female fans, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's hot.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
This turned into an episode of How to Catch a Predator real quick.
I'm just saying, Joseph Newgarden is over. He's
over 18.
24, 25.
I don't know. He's
over 21. so yeah, I hope so too. And you know, it was very, it warmed my heart to see, which I didn't think about until afterwards, but, at Indy 500 Pirate posted a photo of our whole group and said, you know, it was the year of the ladies at the Rolex 24. And I thought to myself, you know, this was one of the first races we've been to where we, in our group, I mean, as a whole, yeah, as females, we were in the minority of fans there. Yeah. But in our group, I think we actually had more women than men, which is awesome.
Which is great. And I don't want to say anything with our group because they're great guys. You know, they're
awesome.
You,
yeah. And they have never once made us feel, you know, less than or whatever. I mean, obviously they're pro women. They all follow us on everything, you know, and they love, I mean, they don't care if you're a man or a woman. They just want good racing.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I want to be very clear about that. I love the guys we hang out with at the track, and that's one of my favorite things in this podcast is that we've met them.
Yeah, 100%.
But, you know, it's like, I look at the Rolex 24, and I think to myself, you know, that's not a race that everybody, you know, most people, it's not like the Indy 500 where everybody knows about it, you know? You have to be into racing to know about that, and so to have that many women there just really warmed my heart, and I thought, you know, like, okay, there's hope, like, We can get more women into this.
I agree. So
we can do that. One of our mission statements is that we want to get
women involved, you know? That's kind of one of the things I hope we can work on in 2018 as the season is nearing, as we can see the season from our houses.
Yes. It is so close.
So close. All righty.
All right. Well, let's wave that checkered flag.
Thanks for listening.